Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to CDSL's Q2 FY24 conference call hosted by HDFC Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Ladies and gentlemen, please note that CDSL does not provide specific revenue or earnings guidance. Anything said on this call which reflects CDSL's outlook for the future or which could be constituted as forward-looking statements must be viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Chandra.
Yeah, thank you, operator. So good morning, everyone. On behalf of HDFC Securities, we welcome you all to the CDSL Q2 FY24 earnings call. We have with us today the management team of CDSL, represented by Mr. Nehal Vora, MD and CEO, Mr. Girish Amesara, CFO, and other senior leaders. We will start with a brief overview of the results by Mr. Nehal Vora, and then we'll start with the Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Amit. Very, very good morning to all the listeners and participants, and welcome everyone. I hope each of you and your loved ones are safe and healthy. Thank you for joining us today to discuss CDSL's financial results for the second quarter for the new financial year, FY 2023-24. We've posted a detailed investor presentation on our website for your reference. I'm joined by the CDSL Group's leadership team. Let me start with the industry highlights and then take you through some of the key aspects of our performance. During the Q2 FY 2023-24, the overall Indian capital markets demonstrated a healthy growth. The total demat accounts as on September 30, 2023 stood at 12.96 crores, of which CDSL share was at 9.62 crores. The net demat accounts opened in India in this quarter was at 91.58 lakh, of which 80.28 lakhs were registered with CDSL in the Q2 FY23-24. The comparative numbers for CDSL were 52 lakhs for Q1 of FY23-24 and 48 lakhs for Q2 of FY22-23. The total market capitalization of the market increased by 8% as on the end of this quarter, reaching rupees 319 lakh crores compared to 296 lakh crores as on June 30, 2023. Furthermore, the daily turnover for Q2 FY24 witnessed a 33% increase when compared to Q1 of FY24. These positive trends reflect the financial inclusion and an increased participation by the investors in the Indian capital markets. These positive trends in the markets also attributed to the recent industry advancements and regulatory measures. We believe these measures will benefit the industry in the long run by protecting the interests of retail investors and reducing the systemic risk. The 25th year of operation is also very special for us as we celebrate the 9 crore demat account milestone in July 2023. And further, I am delighted to announce that CDSL has received the recognition for its excellence in digital execution. In October 2023, we were honored with the Tech Circle Business Transformation Award. As we reach the midpoint of our 25-year journey, we remain committed to enhancing ease of doing business and instilling trust within the financial ecosystem. Our ongoing efforts have yielded promising results. The current financial year is also a representation where we have experienced a sustainable and healthy business and financial performance as a result of the efforts of all the market infrastructure institutions. Before I hand it over to our Chief Financial Officer, I would like to take a brief moment to place our appreciation and gratitude to all our stakeholders, the beneficiary, owners, the depository participants, issuers, regulators, employees, and other market participants for their constant faith in us. We extend our heartfelt gratitude to our investors and the people of India whose unwavering faith continues to guide us. Our focus remains steadfast on building value for our stakeholders and securing a robust Indian digital financial ecosystem. Thank you for your continued support and trust. Over to you, Girish.
Thank you, Nehal. Good morning to all of you. Speaking on the quarterly performance on a consolidated basis, the total income for the quarter ended September 2023 is increased by 35% to Rs. 230 crores as against 170 crore for the same quarter during the previous year quarter. The net profit for the quarter ended September 2023 is also increased by 35% at Rs. 109 crore as against 81 crore for the same quarter during the previous year. Speaking on half yearly numbers on a consolidated basis, the total income has increased by 28% to 404 crore as against 316 crore. The consolidated net profit for the 6 months ended September 2023 has increased by 32% to Rs. 183 crore as against 138 crores during the previous half. Speaking on a standalone basis, the total income for the quarter ended September 2023 is increased by 29% to 182 crores as against 141 crore for the same quarter during the previous year. The net profit for the quarter ended September 2023 is increased by 28% at Rs. 88 crores as against 69 crores for the same quarter during the previous year. Speaking on half-yearly basis, on a standalone basis, the total income has increased by 18% to Rs. 352 crores as against 298 crores during the previous half. The consolidated net profit has also increased by 14% to 180 crore as against 158 crores during the previous half. Now, I shall hand over to Sunil Alvarez to give an update about operation of the wholly owned subsidiary, CDSL Ventures Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Sunil.
Good morning to all the participants. So far as CDSL Ventures is concerned, the Q2 FY24 operating income was higher by 67% as compared to Q2 FY23. The operational income was 43 crores in this quarter as compared to 26 crores same quarter last financial year. The income, other income was at 4 crore as compared to 3 crores in the previous year. The total income was at 47 crores as compared to 29 crores in the previous quarter of the previous financial year. And so far as the expenses were concerned, the expenses were higher by 66% at 18 crores as against 11 crores as compared to the previous same quarter in the previous financial year. The profit before tax for this for Q2 FY24 was 29 crores as compared to 18 crores for Q2 FY23, which was higher by 63%, and the net profit was higher by 61% at 22 crores as compared to 13.44 crores in Q2 FY23. With this, I hand it over back for taking the question and answer.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. First question is from the line of Swarnam Mukherjee from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and very good morning. Congrats on a great set of numbers.
Sorry to interrupt, your voice is coming a little muffled. Can you please speak through the handset?
Yeah. Is this better?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Hi. Yeah. So, morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Great performance for the quarter. Two, three questions. First one on the IPO corporate action line item. So I just wanted to understand, how much of this growth can be kind of sticky. So if you could give us some color or a quantifiable breakup on how much of this has come due to IPOs, how much through AGMs, etc., and how much through corporate actions. So as to, you know, give us a flavor whether, you know, some part of this can be retained or whether this, there is a, you know, substantial seasonal element in this. So that's the first one. Secondly, on the KYC KRA business, so if you could, you know, give us a sense why this, you know, the performance has been very strong. So whether the share of fetch transactions have increased or is it like the mix is relatively similar and it's volume driven because of which the growth has come? And thirdly, on the cost side, so if I look at the tech cost, so about a year back, it was somewhere around 9-10 odd crores. It has steadily moved up to 15 crore run rate this quarter. So are we peaking out in terms of the run rate or should we expect further inflation in this, given that you have previously also highlighted the technology-intensive nature of the business? And on the other expense increase, if you could highlight in the standalone business, what is driving that? I understand that maybe some intercompany charges is placed in the KYC subsidiary, but in the standalone business, what is driving that? That's all from my side, sir.
Okay. Thank you. On your first question on IPO and credit, corporate actions, it's kind of market driven, so it's kind of difficult to predict, and we don't give any future really reference points. So we would not able to kind of give a picture of the future. That's for you to assess. Your second question was on the KRA charges, on fetch, and so I think it's broadly driven by the buoyant market conditions. Number of demat accounts growing and participation growing, both in terms of delivery volumes, etc. We don't generally give the bifurcation on how much is fetch versus it's a consolidated number. Sorry, your third question was.
Sir, before that, if I could just ask you, you know, I'm not, if even if I quantify this is possible, but if you could maybe some higher, you know, highlight whether this is really more fetch, because, you know, given that mutual penetration, you know, penetration on the other financial products are also increasing, etc. So, I mean, is that an outcome of this? So that's.
Again, it's difficult to predict what has caused this outcome. It's kind of the overall buoyant market conditions. What has led to, whether it's fetch or increased KYC opening, it's a culmination of variety of factors, and it plays one upon the other. So it's difficult to give an answer which would be absolutely give the reason. It's a multiplicity of factors which leads to this, and hence we're not able to give you a specific answer on that.
Okay, sir. On the previous question on the IPO and other, you know, AGMs and corporate action, I don't want the forward-looking guidance, but if you could at least give us a, you know, breakup between how much is due to IPOs and how much is due to other things, which will at least on a year-on-year basis recur.
Yeah. So basically, this is IPO corporate action income itself. The head itself is, you know, based on the IPO that comes in the market. So it is totally market-driven activity. Higher number of IPOs, we will be able to process higher number of.
So it's completely due to IPOs.
So basically, that's the answer.
Okay. All right, sir. On the cost, if you could.
On the cost, on the technology cost is something which is a constant, because as we are growing in number of accounts, we have to plan, and this is kind of a market infrastructure company. So it has to plan for the rise and growth, and then infrastructure takes time, and technology infrastructure especially needs to not only be built with what the current trends are, but what are the future sophistications which are coming into the market. So it's going to be a constant investment which we will continue to do as we move forward. This will be in sync with what is expected both from the regulators and the market to ensure that we are able to give the best-in-class performance as we move forward. In terms of other expenses, I'll ask Girish to answer that.
See, largely the other expenses, you know, if you look at our cost structure, you know, payment to SEBI is again related based on my profitability and you know billing done for annual issuer income. So higher the profitability, higher the income, there will be higher cost on this account. Again, if you look at inter-KR expense, it could be directly proportionate to the business, the earnings that I do on a top line in terms of KR income. Proportionately, there will be higher KR inter-KR charges. Having said this, you know, the certain cost will move in proportion to the movement in the income. That's the submission I...
Okay, sir, so on the regulatory bit, you, what you said, other expenses, I was talking in terms of the split that you have given in the presentation where I think the regulatory cost is booked separately. So excluding that, I was kind of interested in understanding from the standalone. So for the KYC KRA, I have an understanding. For the remaining business, X of regulatory cost was what I was pointing towards.
So largely, regulatory cost largely is on account of CDSL, okay? And this is driven by the regulation, so we can hardly do anything about it.
Yeah, so sir, outside that, if you know the breakup you have given, so there is one regulatory cost. The other head is other expenses, which has moved from last quarter at 41 crore to this quarter at 52 crores. And I think in fourth quarter it was at 30 odd crores. So I wanted to understand that movement if you could help me.
See, this being second quarter, okay, our e-voting business would also have cost equivalently incurred. So, e-voting expenses are there. Then we have consolidated account statement related expenses. Then, you know, such kind of expenses are there, which would be there in second quarter mostly because the income corresponding is higher in the second quarter.
Understood. So, it is largely granular. There is nothing lumpy.
Yes.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the account addition, demat account addition. So obviously we have seen a lot of traction coming back in terms of the additions and it has gone to the peak levels. But if I see the revenue per demat, it has been coming down. And if I see the revenue per incremental demat, it is also coming down. So how do you see the newer account additions that are happening? So these are not contributing much to revenues. So how do you see this? And secondly, on the private companies demat opportunity that has come up recently, where there are around 14 lakh NC registered private companies and taking the lowest slab, that comes to a bigger opportunity. So is there any timelines in terms of these companies getting demated? So if you can provide some overview on that.
So on the first question, Amit, it's more of the building blocks getting created in terms of number of demat accounts. How the investors will react to as a group or as a collective group will be dependent on how the market conditions are, etc. See, we are in the business of creating the right building blocks for the people to invest whenever there is an opportunity for them to, they would like to really invest. And that for me is the biggest victory, that from a financial inclusion standpoint, more and more people are coming into the ecosystem. And that will kind of play out over a long term. So we are not on a quarter to quarter game plan that, you know, what will be the revenue increase. It's more of a long-term sustainable game plan, creating the right ecosystem and creating the right building blocks for us to take it forward from there. So that's the answer to the first question. On the second question, MCA has just recently put out this regulation. I think the timelines are given by September 24, if I'm not mistaken. So I think we are anyways been doing this for a long time. So from a technology and system point of view, we are pretty ready to go. It's for them to now kind of approach the depositories for taking it forward.
Okay. And sir, on the e-voting and e-cash revenue, if you can provide the breakup, what was the e-voting and e-cash revenue in this quarter? And also, in terms of the private company opportunity, obviously the time is of September, but is there any incremental cost that will incur or any incentive schemes that we earlier used to have incentive scheme for getting companies because we have a lower market share there? So So are there any plans of investing in like in that piece?
So the first question I asked Girish to answer, but the second question is on the, see, we have been very transparent, and that's been the foundation of our entire ethos. So whatever schemes we have, we put it out on the public domain. And I think it's the costs will be a function of, as more and more people join the ecosystem, the technology infrastructure has to kind of be enhanced in sync with the increased participation and to ensure that the service levels remain high quality. And therefore, there will be a constant assessment done and a constant investment done as to what is necessary and required to be put in from a technology standpoint. So again, I would like to repeat that we are not in a quarter-on-quarter target point of view. We are more on a long-term sustainable business. We are in that business of creating a market infrastructure, like building a road. And the value proposition will then kind of come over a longer period of time. So that's how we see ourselves as we move forward. First question I'll ask Girish to answer.
So the EKS income for the quarter is 7 crore as against 5.5 crore in the same quarter previous year. E-voting is achieved at 15 crore in this quarter as against 14 crore in the same quarter previous year.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prakash Kapadia from Anvit Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Most of the questions answered. I just have one question. You know, if I look at annual issuer charges, they are at a run rate of around 63 crores, which is, you know, a huge bump up on a year-on-year basis. Even last quarter, I think we were at this rate. So if you could give us some qualitative flavor on, you know, what is leading to this? Is it, you know, larger unlisted company revenues? Is it more folios given buoyancy of capital markets? Is there some pricing impact? If you could give us some flavor.
See, pricing impact is obviously put out in a public domain. It's there's no change there. But it's a combination of both the first two factors. It's the increased number of private companies coming into the fold as well as number of folios increasing, which leads to this increase to take place. So the point is that as any growth is concerned, we are kind of, our endeavor is to have multiple touch points to ensure that the growth remains very sustainable.
Touch points in terms of business development activities where, you know, we are ready for the opportunity as it comes is what you're hinting at, Nehal?
No, both things, also ready from a technology point of view, but also ready from a ecosystem point of view, that as more and more opportunities come and multiple sources of this, whether it be folios, whether it be private limited companies, so there are multiple sources of how the revenue would grow. So based on that, that is basically how we are planning ourselves.
Okay. And if it's possible to just quantify the revenues from unlisted companies, maybe at the year end or in the first half, if you can just share a number.
We generally don't share these numbers, so it will be difficult for us to do that.
Okay, fine.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Paresh from Club Millionaire. Please go ahead.
Hi, Neil. Congratulations to you and your entire team for a fantastic performance.
Thank you.
Yet again.
Thanks.
Most of my questions, Neil, have been answered, but usually a couple of clarifications. And before I ask Girish clarifications on the financial line, Neil, your thoughts on the demand of having all the financials
taken
in one
place.
Right?
We are losing your audio.
Just 1 second. Is this better?
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Hello?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
Yes. So, Neil, it is again on the larger question, you know, longer-term question, and having all the financial assets in one place. Where are we in that journey? We see what the private companies, the private listed unlisted companies announcement has come through. A clarification on that, what would define a small company? And the newspaper article mentions the number of small companies is just about 50,000 out of, say, 13-14 lakh companies which are on the private space. You know, clarification on that, what would be the definition?
So we'll have to wait and watch because the regulations have just come in.
Okay.
The rules are yet to be notified. So I think that will is going through the process. And we are also kind of really examining this. But the intent is that it's like any regulatory approach. It's basically a top-down approach where the larger companies are first subjected to the reform. And then as the success grows, the knowledge grows, it kind of the meter would go to the remaining part of the group. So that's really the intent behind. And that's how they have gone about doing this.
Okay. So Nihil, on the other other asset classes, basically whether it's insurance, whether it's a commodity or whether it's mutual funds, any update on what is the progress or any what's the update on that?
So insurance is anyways permitted through our subsidiary insurance repository. The mutual funds are on a voluntary basis. I think the important thing from an India point of view, and that's how we look at ourselves, that for us India is the prime most focus, is that there's a unique identifier of PAN and PAN Aadhaar combination, which kind of gives it that unique identity. So if it needs to get aggregated at some point, and even the account aggregator system is something which is also been rolled out. So that will give a lot of information and data on the investor to kind of pull for his or her consumption and for further analysis. And that's how we will see how the system evolves, matures, and is taken forward. But the right building blocks have been created to create a very strong foundation on which this entire structure can be built.
Manish, sorry, but we are losing your audio.
Your audio is not clear.
Manish, yeah. We are not able to hear you.
Is it better now?
Yes.
Yeah. We just wanted to see clarification whether you started charging the account aggregator in terms of a full basis for the information that they seek.
Not yet.
Okay. And then just some questions to Girish as well. See, Girish, our revenues and profits both have grown by 35%, but I've seen the other expenses grow by about 40%. So do we have any one-off on those expenses?
No, there are no one-offs in the expenses.
Okay. And then regarding the SEBI charges, Girish, I saw that's gone up by 50%. Even so, the revenues from a depository side are just up to 33%. Has there been any change or what actually led to a faster growth in SEBI fees this time compared to our depository revenues?
See, SEBI fees are basically based on the collection and not revenue. So if we have collected, say, revenue of previous year or, before 3 years, then we have to pay 2% of those collected amount to SEBI. So basically, that's the reason how it works.
Can you clarify that once again, Girish? For some reason, I didn't understand. I thought it was a percentage of the revenue.
Fees, the mechanism, the SEBI circular specifies that whatever annual issuer income that you that you levy to your customer, you collect that, and whatever is the collection amount, 2% has to be paid to SEBI as a fee. Now, suppose in this financial year, we have collected, say, for previous year or previous 2 years. So the incidence of tax would happen in this year.
Okay, understood. So whatever the pending receivables are, they get added on this year.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And so basically our collection has improved. That's the answer.
Understood. So have you had any write backs because of that? Because you normally provide for the annual issue charges?
No.
Okay. So Girish, just one more clarification on the same thing. For example, when there are transaction charges, I presume they will also be included and be part of the SEBI fees, right?
No, only annual issuer fees.
Only annual issuer. Okay, fine. Thank you so much and all the best to you all.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Supratim Datta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Sanya, for the first question, if I look at your employee cost, and I'm talking about the standalone business, the employee costs have stabilized vis-a-vis the first quarter. Should we assume this to be the runway going forward as well? So that's the first question before I go into my other questions.
I think it will be difficult. We don't give forward-looking statements. But the important thing is that this is a specialized business. We need really the specialized personnel. And as we embark on a growth journey, we will need to kind of earmark more and more people also besides the technology increase. Even the human resource needs to be enhanced to ensure that it's able to handle the increased growth.
On the MCA and, you know, the notification by MCA, so, you know, like people before me also discussed, so there are around 14, 15 million companies. 14, 15 lakh companies. Yeah. Out of this, how many would fall into this bucket of above 40 crore turnover? Do you have any sense around that?
We are yet in analyzing this. It's just coming. But it will be the small companies which are kind of out of this ambit. I don't think there is that number there at this stage, but there is something which we are analyzing. So I will not able to give you a definitive answer at this stage.
Got it. And typically, we have seen that unlisted players have gone with NSDL as compared to CDSL. So are you working to, you know, on certain aspects to better target these companies as and when they come for DMAT services?
As I said earlier, I am not in a quarter-to-quarter game. I'm not in a competition game. I'm here in for a long-term value proposition for India. And that has been our thoughts as a management team. That you prepare, you put across a platform which gives the best-in-class services to the people and let the market choose whichever other is the better platform. Like we've seen in DMAT accounts, we were lower, we've increased. Now that has been the culmination of the long-term strategy. Same thing is what we will follow in terms of in this particular space also.
Got it. And last question from my side. So on the KRA charges, could you give a breakdown of how much of this would be coming from mutual funds and mutual fund account opening versus the DMAT account opening?
We generally don't give that number. So I'm sorry, I'm not able to share that.
Okay, but could you give a broad sense about which would be the bigger?
It is, if we don't give it, we don't give it.
It's actually difficult to say because there are many brokers who offer, credit of mutual fund securities in the DMAT account. So if there is a record pertaining to a mutual fund which a broker is doing, okay, that would actually go into a broking account or fresh charge pertaining to that particular record. So it will be difficult to say whether a broker is doing it either for a mutual fund or for a security.
Got it. And final question from my side on the insurance repository business. One of your peers is working on launching an app which would, you know, not only be an insurance repository, but provide additional functions as well. You could have all your policies at the same place and, you know, other services. So are you also looking at, you know, enhancing the service? You know, how are you thinking about that business?
We have a new management team now. We have a new MD and CEO who has joined the insurance repository. And he would be driving the entire strategy. I am pretty confident he would be driving basically the digital journey. So that is something which we'll have to see in future.
Got it. Okay. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Arushi Shah from Sushil Financial. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
No, ma'am. Can you please speak through the handset?
Hello now. Better?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry for the inconvenience and thank you for the opportunity. Just one question from my side. The transaction charges in our financial performance consolidated, which have increased substantially from Q1 to Q2. Is it because new accounts are being opened or the absolute charges have increased? If you could throw some light on that.
We don't charge anything for account opening. It's only on a debit transaction that we charge.
Okay. No, my what I meant was that since new accounts are being opened, so like the per account, whatever per transactions what we charge. Since more transactions are.
I'm just coming to that. Therefore, it's a culmination of both existing as well as new investors. That can be showcased as I had given the industry highlight as to how the daily traded volume, the delivery volume, et cetera, is growing quarter-on-quarter of this quarter as compared to the last quarter. That kind of showcases the increased participation. Difficult to really bifurcate between whether this is from new investors or it's from old investors. It's a combination.
Okay. Also, like per transaction or anything, our transaction charges have risen, like in absolute terms, like if we are charging 1 rupee, we charge 1.5, something like that.
We've actually brought it down.
Okay. It's reduced.
We have actually introduced an additional layer of transaction charges. We have a layer-based transaction based on your basically slab-based.
Okay.
We've introduced a lower slab.
Okay. It's more like a volume play, right? That's the correct way to read?
Yeah. More the volumes, the lower the charges you pay.
Okay. Thank you, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Miraj from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers, sir. I have two questions. The first one is regarding the announcement that came some time ago regarding the settlement, T+1 hour settlement, which the SEBI is aiming to do by January, and later subsequently by October, they are planning an instant settlement. I wanted to understand that any infrastructure layout that needs to be put up, the expenses are supposed to be done by us. If yes, then have we incurred anything in this regard yet? Secondly, I wanted to understand that, is this idea of introducing T+1 hour settlement more towards increasing volumes, or is there any other goal for this? This was my first question, sir.
Yeah. This is going to be a constant process of investment. As reforms happen, we need to kind of, and each market infrastructure institution will have to incur its own cost of implementing these changes. Whatever share is of both CDSL and NSDL will have to incur it themselves. That's something which is something. The intent is it's going to be on an optional basis. It's very clearly put out by the SEBI chair, is giving more power to the investor to choose that if he or she would like to get instantaneous settlement, moving towards an instantaneous settlement, thereby reducing the basically the credit risk which is there in the system, where he or she can get the funds immediately. It is moving, giving more products for the person to opt for. Somebody can opt for a T+1 or a T+0, and finally moving toward an instantaneous settlement.
Understood, sir. Sir, in this regards from our end, have we incurred any expenses yet to set up T+1 hour or instant?
Yeah, it's a constant process, as I said, that we are in a constant process of investment. The technical team is obviously working towards it to ensure that it is able to at least satisfy the timelines which would be prescribed by SEBI in this regard.
Understood. My final question, sir, is that on the annual issuer charges revision part, if I'm not wrong, it is currently 11 annual issuer charges. Has there been any discussion on the revision part?
Not yet. It's a constant process, so we've not yet. And we generally don't discuss our regulatory matters in this forum. So that's something which is a separate discussion.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much and all the best for the future. I'll get back in if there are any further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Nanu Santosh from Keshri Finance. Please go ahead.
Am I audible? Hello?
Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you for such a great set of numbers. I had two questions. One is that typically the number of additions that we are seeing in the Demat account. So looking at that, if you can share that, what is the incremental revenue we get out of every Demat account that's getting added? Because typically a customer is getting charged something like 500 rupees per year, if my understanding is correct. But some brokers do not charge as much. For example, Zerodha is charging just 200. So we are not getting a sense that how much is the CDSL revenue from each incremental Demat account that comes. If you can just throw
we don't charge anything for really retail. So for retail, it's completely free.
Okay.
And then non-retail corporate accounts is about 500 rupees a year.
Okay. So by retail, you mean the HUF family?
Yes.
The Hindu and divided families?
Yeah, yeah.
And corporate is private sector, private companies, FIIs and
yes.
Things like that, right?
Yes.
So, for any reason that you don't charge for Demat, because you are providing such a valuable service to, and it's sort of the, as you have been saying and maintaining all along, it's such a infra service, you know, such a big, huge infra service. Then, any reason that you are not charging, is there a bar from SEBI or we
no,
are
no, no bar from SEBI. It's more to do with our responsibility towards the country also. We are kind of contributing to financial inclusion. And whilst commercial aspects are critical, but also the market development is extremely critical as a theme for us to continuously grow, and our contribution to enhancing the sophistication of the securities market in India. And that's one of the reasons why we want more and more people to come in into. Today, CDSL is there at 98%, 99% of the PIN codes in India. And there has been a growth which has taken place in terms of number of Demat accounts. We want more and more people to join this ecosystem. So therefore, the entry is kind of remains, especially for the retail. We are trying to kind of really encourage more and more people to join the ecosystem, and hence there is no charge.
Okay. Great, sir. Proud of your services. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next question is from line of Sanket from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, again on this question of private companies mandatory to be done dematerialization of their shareholding, you probably about the number of companies which are less than 4 crores trade capital or 40 crores turnover. But in your rough guess, how much that number would be if you have any wild guess on that? Point number one. And second, given your very minimum charge is 2,500 rupees on the unlisted company, if such a big volume come, whether we can see downward pricing pressure from 2,500 rupees to come down, which could have an impact on the potential revenue realization. That's my first question.
So on the first part, I would not like to give any wild answers. I would like it to go through a proper working before I can reveal that. So I'm not able to give any numbers on what are the numbers. In terms of the pricing, it's a function of various things. And anyway, the depository pricing is approved by SEBI also. So
yeah.
In terms of that, it will go through its own process. I think it's a fairly low charge. Our in-house helps get paid probably more than this. So I don't think companies should have a problem in paying up these charges. They are very, very, very less and nominal.
Got it.
And the second question, what we have is that, so on KYC income, which has done well in the current quarter. There seems to be a very strong correlation when the IPO activity is very strong in the year or in the quarter, then we see a very bump up in the KYC income. So just wanted to understand, out of the 39 crores of KYC income, how much you can attribute to directionally, how much you can attribute to the IPO activities. If it slows down, say, in subsequent quarters, you will see a moderation in the KYC income.
Actually, that's going to be difficult, because when an entity fetches a particular record, okay, yeah, or creates a particular record, we have no clue whether it is because of an IPO or because, he's using it elsewhere. So that is something we will not be able to track.
But it is fair to assume that KYC, IPO activity have a meaningful impact on the KYC income growth, right?
Absolutely, because IPOs will add to the number of DMAT and broking.
Yeah, but again, it's difficult for us to predict that it's only because of IPO or it's because of other factors. It's basically the participation in the securities markets, which will cause this impact to occur. Now, the participation is due to IPOs or due to secondary markets or due to mutual funds is difficult to predict in future. And that's why we are really unable to see.
Got it, sir. And few data keeping questions. I think in the past you have disclosed these numbers. First is on impairment cost, which has happened in the current quarter. Second is pledge income. And third is annual issue charges from unlisted entities.
I think we are not disclosing the unlisted annual issue fees, but yes, margin pledge we are disclosing. We have achieved 4.19 crore income during the quarter. And with respect to impairment, the value is 3.3 crore in this quarter.
Okay, so it has gone up compared to last quarter, right? It was 1.7 crores. Is it due to any specific reason or is this just conservative?
If you understand the ECL requirement on the debtors provision, it is basically based on the history of the debtors. Now, in one quarter, there could be, higher collection, and because of that, there could be a lower charge. So we cannot derive any fixed formula that, yes, in this quarter, the cost is going to remain the same, and accordingly, we can make prediction. That would not be possible to do for impairment.
Oh, okay, sir. Perfect. That's very much clear. Thank you for that information.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Ajox Frederick from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So just one question. You mentioned that online charges are dependent on DMAT account opening, delivery volumes, and IPOs. So if I do a sequential comparison, DMAT has gone up by 9% and delivery volumes by 41%. However, online charges are about 80% growth sequentially. So the gap, can I assume it to be IPO driven?
Yeah, you can possibly take that as your derivation, but we kind of, it's difficult to again predict that whether it is only because of this factor or there are a multitude of factors which happen, which play upon that, because one can impact the other factor also. But as a broad thumb rule, probably what you have analyzed, you can take that.
Just one clarification. The income due to the delivery volume correlation would be for the depository business and not KRA business.
Understood. That is very helpful. Thank you. That is fine.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from Rana Swarnam Mukherjee from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I on similar lines, what I just asked, I just wanted to understand that if I look at the growth in the number of DMAT accounts, what is there in first quarter versus second quarter, that growth is around 55%. So, given that that revenue item has moved close to 80%, so I could not understand what is the difference of around, say, 20-25% growth, remaining growth. So some, highlighting some levers on that would be helpful.
it's overall the market activity, because see, whatever are the, we charge for the debits, we charge for the margin pledges, we charge for, so it's again a multitude of factors. As I said, one transaction can, so one-to-one correlation on the factors is difficult to do, because the culmination of these transactions will lead to whatever is the income which is really drawn out of that.
Sir, just to clarify, for the under the online data charges, we only book the revenue from the KYC business, right? Or is there anything else also?
That's right.
Yeah, so I'm not sure, you know, I'm not getting how transaction charges will, I mean, transaction and debits will also benefit this, if you could explain.
No, it depends on how the fetch takes place. Then what, whether that will lead to a debit, whether he has transacted in one stock or five stocks or 50 stocks or 100 stocks, that's difficult to predict. And whether that will lead to, whether that is done through one account or through many accounts. So whether the fetch for those many accounts will be much more, if it's one account fetch, it will be less, but the transaction income will be more. So again, therefore, 1:1 correlation is not possible to be done. That is the point I was trying to make.
Okay, sir. Okay, all right. I'll take this offline for a little bit detailed understanding. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Santosh from Keshri Finance. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you again for taking my question. I just wanted to know that what is the market share of CVRL in the business section?
CVRL?
Your KYC business, CVL, right? CDSL Ventures.
The figures are unpublished, but our estimate is about 65%.
65%, okay. And our biggest competitor would be?
That's only an estimate, so I think that should be very clear.
Oh, 65%. All right. So have there been an increase in market share or decrease in market share, sir, over the past year or so?
It's been more or less constant, I would say.
More or less constant. Thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Miraj from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So just a follow-up on the same point I had earlier regarding the T+1 settlement. It is planned to be implemented from January onwards. So is there any circular on it that SEBI has released, or is this just is there any discussion paper or anything on that?
Yeah, we should expect something. There will be a circular to that effect or discussion paper. I will not able to comment on how really the regulator will do it. But there will be a formal kind of an announcement. So what will be the timelines, etc., based on that.
Okay. Thank you. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sanket Gora from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. One small data keeping question is how many capital market records we have. Last year we ended up with around 55.5 crore capital market records. A single number, what it would be today?
All right. The question is not clear. What do you mean by capital market records?
The KYC records, what you have with you, which was around 5.5 crore.
End of September quarter, we had about 6.1 crore.
Oh, okay, perfect. And the second question, sir, was again a simple question that given in the current year, promoters did a lot of selling, which means that the number of folios probably at the retail level will increase. So that benefit might not be reflected in the current year, right? Because what you have charged on initial charges is based on last year number of folios. So that benefit should flow in FY25 as the number of folios will increase. So my understanding is right there, sir?
Again, I'll not able to predict how this will pan out over the next course of the next 2-3 quarters. It only comes to know at the end of the year as to how many folios are there. Again, these are forward-looking statements, so we don't give any forward-looking statements. So I'll not able to give a specific answer on this.
Got it. Actually, my intention was to understand directionally that we start.
I understand what you are saying, but tomorrow, my point is that tomorrow in the next quarter there could be basically a reversal which could happen. The promoters start buying more and the retail start selling. So how will I tell you that whether this is wrong, right, etc. So again, it will be what is at the end of the year the folios that the formula will be applied as per the numbers on that.
Got it, sir. Perfect. Thank you, sir. And that's it from my head.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Nehal Vora for closing comments.
So I'd like to thank all the people for their questions and the participation. Please stay safe and well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of HDFC Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.